You're listening to episode 250 of Lifestyle Locker Radio with Jonathan DePotter. Hi, I'm Dr. Josh Hant, and welcome to Lifestyle Locker Radio, where we help you create an awesome life and lifestyle. From nutrition to fitness, mindfulness to peak performance, and relationships to money mindset, we bring you on an amazing journey to help you unleash your human potential. Hey everyone, welcome back to Lifestyle Locker Radio. We have an amazing guest today. We're going to talk about plant medicine. We're going to talk about retreats. We're going to talk about you being a better human being, unleashing your human potential. We have Jonathan DePotter on the show. Welcome, Jonathan. Glad to have you here.
Thank you, Dr. Joshua. I'm super excited to be here and great to chat with you.
Yeah, this is going to be a great conversation. You know, after snooping around, looking at your website and seeing some amazing things that you do, I think it's awesome that we get to participate in a, you know, a one-on-one conversation, you know, thousands of miles apart, digitally, virtually. So I would love for you to share your story. You know, what got you to where you are, not necessarily the location, we can get into, into that as well, but what you're doing with Behold Retreats, what you're doing with plant medicine and helping people, you know, evolve as humans.
Yeah, so I guess to start all the way back, you know, I grew up with quite hippie parents. I grew up in Hawaii, and I rejected all of those things, you know, alternative, you know, spirituality, the hippie lifestyle, all of that quite early in life, and went down the corporate route, you know, went into management consulting, super kind of serious work-centric lifestyle. And you know, after about 5 years, I was working with Accenture in Hong Kong, leading a large team. I just remember one morning, looking at myself in the mirror and thinking, is this it? I was an atheist at the time. And I hit a point where I couldn't see the meaning in chasing that next client, chasing that next deal, chasing that next promotion, and I had to go soul searching. And I wouldn't have described it as such at the time. And that was about 5 years ago now. And so as part of my soul searching journey, I traveled through South America and ultimately wound up at a retreat center with two close friends. And that was, you know, fundamentally a pivotal and life-changing moment. And so over the years that followed, I think I made just about every mistake that one person can make with psychedelics or plant medicine. And through those experiences, through those journeys, through the humbling lessons from the plants, some quality guidance came, motivated, redoubled in my motivation and quadrupled in my motivation to help people avoid the mistakes that I had made over that duration. And so that's what ultimately led me to establish Behold Retreats.
Okay. So with, when you say psychedelics, you say plant medicine, let's step back for a minute, because some people may have heard some episodes about with ayahuasca. There are many different variations of things that people do when it comes to plant medicine, when it comes to psychedelics and the reasons why they're actually using them. I know yours was on you didn't know it at the time, but it was a soul searching journey. So give us an overview of what you mean by plant medicine, psychedelics, and how you were attempting and using them.
Yeah. So from quite a young age, I was always quite anti-substance. You know, I think most of us were given the same narrative in school, just say no. What I saw, you know, what I saw around me outside of school was like pretty dark and negative, to be honest. And so the narrative I was being given in school pretty much aligned to what I saw around me. So it all just kind of made sense. And so, you know, I was pretty surprised when I came to understand the potential benefits of doing this work, honestly speaking. And, you know, it really opened the door. So when we speak about psychedelics, when we speak about plant medicine, you know, the language itself is being, shall we say, evolved at the moment. There's a lot of large corporate entities out there that are taking substances like MDMA, substances like ketamine, and they're describing those as psychedelic. They're not. They're psychoactive. They certainly have very powerful effects on the brain, but they're not psychedelic in the classical sense. So generally speaking, we speak about psychedelic, we speak about entheogens, we speak about plant medicines, we're speaking about, you know, the classic psychedelics are LSD, psilocybin, magic mushrooms. I would include, ayahuasca has certainly grown in popularity over the years, and San Pedro and peyote, two cacti that, have mescaline as the underlying molecule, are equally, growing in popularity. And so, generally speaking, those are a number of those that we're speaking about. And then, there's also 5-MeO-DMT, which is a very powerful medicine, known for both its synthetic and natural form, very different experiences that are, even orders of magnitude more powerful than some of these other already powerful plant medicines or psychedelics. And so, they run a gamut in terms of power, potency, type of experience, et cetera.
Okay. So when you went on your journey, when you were doing this soul searching journey, what was the plant medicine or what was the psychedelic that you engaged with, which helped you transform to, you ultimately becoming who you are today, or at least started that journey?
Yeah, well, it certainly, my first experience certainly opened a door. It opened the opportunity. And it was with ayahuasca in Peru. So we went to, one of the best known retreat centers there outside of Cusco in the Sacred Valley, which is, a magical place near Machu Picchu. Mm-hmm. And by paper, we did everything right, but in practice, these are very powerful experiences. We weren't adequately prepared. I now recognize that we were not as well spiritually cared for as someone might like to be for these experiences. And in saying that, I think it's important to also acknowledge that these were very heart-centered people doing the best work that they could at the highest level that they knew how. And that was, on some level, that's about all that you can ask for. But on another level, like, this was two of the most challenging nights of my life. And it doesn't always need to be as difficult as what I went through. And so, over the years that followed, honestly speaking, out of my first retreat experience, I went exactly back to who I was before. I didn't get a big gift from that first experience. And that's quite common that people have very profound, transcendent, quote unquote, life-changing experiences. And then everything goes back to normal. Mm-hmm. And there's many reasons behind that that we can tuck into. But there's just fundamentally, there's a lot more elements required in order for people to get and sustain a shift in terms of rewiring those, decades old entrenched neural patterns that have, come to make us who we are.
Yeah. And not necessarily in our pre-chat, but not, the application when we had the conversation pre this, you talked about elevating consciousness and, mm-hmm. You're just saying you had this profound experience, two amazing days, then you go back to your old self, that non-changed self that just had a very cool experience, but nothing happened. Like nothing was locked in. Great. Now I'm this new human being. I'm going to change the world. So as we move through time, and you're elevating your consciousness, what other experiences did you have to have to move and shift forward, and how were they all relevant to leading to what you're doing now, like teaching and doing retreats and helping people expand their consciousness?
Yeah. And I think the first 3.5 years of my journey, I would say, would be without guidance, right? So I think a lot of us make the assumption/mistake. And I think it's changing now. I think it's changed a lot in the 5 years since I started, that I can just do this myself, right? This is spiritual work. And so I'll read the right books. I'll start meditating. I'll go to some of these great retreats and, I'll kind of fumble my way along. It won't be perfect, but I'll get there, right? And I would encourage, without any self-interest, I would encourage anyone who's exploring these types of experiences to find someone who's been there and done that, and to be able to guide them. Because when we talk about elevating consciousness, what we're talking about is trying to sustain a new way of being that we haven't achieved yet. We haven't been there, and someone else has. And so they can tell us, they can't do the work for us. That's not it. But they can certainly tell us the signposts. They can certainly share with us some of the things to watch out for, and some of the things to think about. And, you know, my spiritual mentors now, from time to time, they'll send me even just a page that they've captured from a book that made them reflect upon me and where I am in my journey. It's like, wow, that's super meaningful. That's super helpful to me from where I'm at. And those sorts of things make all the difference, to have someone who's, you know, walked that path and is able to, you know, shine some light on your path for you.
Yeah. So experience counts.
Yeah. 100%.
So like you said, you made a lot of mistakes along the way. So I think ultimately with the programs you teach, it's, you know, you're helping people avoid having to make years of tripping and mistakes and problems along the way. You can maybe, I want to say, like, transcend that time much quicker, if that makes sense.
100%.
So let's dive into, you know, Beholder Retreats. What is it? I know there's a lot on the website, but I want to get a little more out of your mouth, right? I think this is the fun part, because if I were to let's just do this first. You know, if I were to apply on your site for a consultation, how does the whole process work?
Yeah. So we like to meet with and speak to our prospective clients as a place to start. You know, there's a lot of places where you can book your retreat for next week and jump on the next plane and off you go. We work a little bit differently. As much as possible, we like to help our clients prepare adequately for one of these experiences. And so what's fascinating to me in relation to this is that the more time and energy that we spend in preparation ahead of one of these experiences, the more the spirit world or the plant medicine is able to respond in kind. And so if we are very clear coming into one of these experiences about who we're going to become and what our life is going to look like on the tail end of one of these sorts of breakthrough types of experiences, then lo and behold, that is what can come to pass. And so for us, what we do with Behold Retreats is 3 weeks before a plant medicine retreat, a 1 or 2 week plant medicine retreat, and then 3 weeks after a plant medicine retreat. And, you know, beforehand we were doing also just plant medicine retreats. So, you know, we've done some really incredible high-end, you know, Tulum beachfront, 5-bedroom villa, week-long private retreats for, you know, the jet set, as it were. But fundamentally, people weren't getting the shifts. Even if we were making therapy or coaching available to them, often they were just putting in the bare minimum in relation to the mental and emotional work, which is so fundamental. And so then they're having psychedelic experiences, not transformational experiences. And, you know, what I've said to some others is like, look, if you want to do high-end plant medicine retreats, like, you can make tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars probably just doing that. But that's not really what we're motivated about, where there's a much smaller percentage of the market that is willing to do the hard work to be done.
That's the percentage
of the market that we're really interested and motivated to serve.
Yeah. You mentioned a couple of words that I've spoken about in many shows, and you talk about someone being, and, you know, that's a very powerful word. And I don't think many people really understand what that means. You know, it's in the world of that we live in. I shared something that I'm not sure if you ever heard this, but we talk about be, do, have. It doesn't go in any other order. Like, you can't have that transcendent moment without being first, and then you have to do the work, and then it comes. It's an order of things. So yeah. What I was hearing from you is that, you know, pre-show, pre-retreat, you know, you help people set their intentions so they can see who they really want to become before they even show up. It's like, it's not one of those, like, you know, I got $5,000 I can burn. Let's go and do whatever we're going to do and see what happens, have a cool experience. And then just becomes an experience, which may be a cool learning experience, but it's not a transformational a place where you can transcend to become a new human being. So with your retreats, you mentioned plant medicine, but we also spoke about psychedelics before. So are your retreats around the world? Are they at a set location?
Yeah, so at the moment we do retreats in Mexico, Costa Rica, Peru, and the Netherlands. So those are, you know, four great locations that are legal, importantly, for this work. And you know, the other aspect, just to build upon what you were saying before, Joshua, is that, you know, we teach tools for metacognition and emotional processing, right? And it makes such a difference to have a coach or a therapist to help us identify our own emotional and mental blind spots. So we've mm-hmm. all got these emotional and mental blind spots. And if we knew what they were, then we wouldn't necessarily need a plant medicine retreat. We wouldn't necessarily need a coach to find them. We could just start, you know, get to work, as it were. But the combination is powerful when you bring together someone who's been there, walked the path, has served hundreds, if not thousands, of clients. You know, the human patterns are not nearly as complex as we might like to think they are in relation to our story and our past and, you know, all of that. It's like people who've served hundreds or thousands, they can very quickly say, okay, you need to work on boundaries, or you need to work on your victim story, or you need to work on manifestation, or, you know, whatever it is that that might be one of our limiting beliefs or behaviors, and really help us to break through and sustain the shift.
Okay. So when we pick one of these places, I think this is just where I want to go, because people have heard of ayahuasca. They've heard, you know, you mentioned all of these other things that are becoming more in the forefront of some people, right? In the consciousness world, in the evolution world with humans. What plant medicines are you and Beholder Retreats, like your team, what are you guys using?
Yeah.
You know, and you know, that's the first part. And secondly, is there a decision on the plant medicine that's used based on the time of the retreat? Because I know, in looking through the site, you know, you have like short versions and longer versions. Like, people have the opportunity to do a small or a large depending on time and availability.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so at the moment, we predominantly work with psilocybin and ayahuasca, mm-hmm. And then seldom with 5-MeO-DMT. And I say seldom because it's a very powerful experience. It's accelerating rapidly in its use, but I think, you know, honestly speaking, there's only a small handful of people in the world that personally I would trust to facilitate such an experience. So you know, the people who I know, love, and respect that have found their way to one of those experiences have generally spent years in their own work with, say, psilocybin or ayahuasca ahead of moving towards one of those experiences. So for the few that are ready, we facilitate that as well, but mostly with ayahuasca and psilocybin.
Yeah. Does it make a difference on the length of the retreat on what you pick?
Generally speaking, we do 1 week retreats, which I think is a really, you know, which is a really incredible container. It is, I would say, quote unquote, easier to have a few more ceremonies within the space of a week with ayahuasca versus psilocybin on average. You know, generally we would do two big ceremonies within the space of a week on psilocybin, whereas, you know, with ayahuasca retreats, it's common to do three, sometimes even four over the space of a week. And, you know, for a US audience, there does seem to be a growing trend and interest in ayahuasca. You know, it's the underlying molecule there is the spirit molecule, which is, you know, often part of the motivation is to really connect into the spirit world, and not to take anything away from psilocybin, which is an amazing medicine, but ayahuasca certainly does a lot more in the body and to reconnect mind, body, heart, and spirit in the ways that they should be connected.
Okay. So this is cool. So I also want you to connect with this, because, you know, it's not, you know, you say we go and we may have two or three of these ceremonies and people are like, well, I'm there for a week. What else is going on? Right. I have probably a little bit of an idea, but I want the audience to really understand, like, this is not just to go and do something and try to reconnect. There is a process that's got to be involved. Like, we talk about like weeks before to weeks after, and then you have that 1 week of, I imagine, intense everything. So what is the everything besides those ayahuasca, like the rituals that you may be doing?
Yeah. So, you know, that's a common question from our clients. And I generally joke and say as little as possible.
Okay.
But no, you know, that not what's, I'll come back to that, but you know, it's very healthy eating, right? Vegan meals. You're generally on a smaller diet, generally a meal or two a day, depending upon which day within the retreat you're on. You have plenty of time for yourself for journaling, for meditation. There's often some movement practices to, you know, just reconnect with your body in ways that you might not have before. There's often, you know, depending on which retreat center you're at, you might do some guided walks out into the jungle or into the, you know, the rainforest and learn about some of the local flora and fauna, but predominantly it's about reconnecting with yourself. And so when you are in these states of expanded access, it's really nice to take the time to just reflect on your life, right? Everyone's had a journey. There's been ups, there's been downs, there's been heartbreak, there's been expectations fulfilled, expectations missed. And we carry layers upon layers of these lower level emotions, right? Whether that's shame, guilt, fear, apathy, pride, envy, grief, you know, the list goes on and on. And so to take the time and the energy to, you know, you don't want to become too mechanistic about it, but to go into our bodies and into our minds and into our past and to access these experiences from the past and to release any negative energies associated with past experiences is really freeing to a great extent. And so, you know, again, having taught these tools ahead of a retreat, I really encourage people to spend a lot of that time on the retreat to, you know, find a quiet spot and to process for themselves.
That's really good, because I know when people are like, oh, we're going to go to Mexico to this retreat, we're going to have 3 days of rituals. That means tequila shots and, you know, hanging out at the pool bar or something for the rest of the time. And, you know, that's just coming from, you know, coming from the US, coming from New York. I mean, that's like the mentality we have going forward. So I think it's really a powerful thing. You know, I've done meditation retreats. I've done lots of, I've not done an ayahuasca retreat, anything like this, but it's really powerful. And I love using this phrase. It's very good to disconnect, to reconnect. Right. And 100%. And it's very powerful. So, you know, putting people on a clean, healthy eating protocol, having them, you know, not overeat, having them spend time with themselves can be probably some of the most challenging things that people will ever do, because they're so immersed with content and information 24/7, 365, that disconnect is scary for most people. And I think it's very powerful. You know, when I went did a meditation retreat with Joe Dispenza, you know, without my technology, without all this stuff and hours a day meditate, I mean, at first it was very bizarre, right? But like, holy cow, when you get in, it's like, it's a different world. I mean, like, where am I? Who am I? It's really powerful. So I can only imagine adding that next element of doing something like ayahuasca with a spirit molecule and all that. Like, I can only imagine like how powerful it is. And you have, you know, the finale of that week. And I'm not sure, you know, if like you guys do like a powwow with like the whole group where people are sharing or talking, but I can only imagine the, you know, the day one experience. And then if it's 1 week, like that day seven experience and the conversations and who those people are being like at that point, I can, it's gotta be wild.
It really is. It really is. And, you know, I'm so glad you said that, because it's so true that a large part of this work is about growing comfortable with ourselves, right? And just being, and not needing some external stimulus. And I think, you know, this past year and a half now that's kind of dragged on has awoken a lot of us to the fact that without our distractions and travel and, you know, going for beers with friends or .. whatever it is, to just have to be with ourselves in a spot and sit with it, it can be quite confronting. Because, you know, there's some of the stats from the National Science Foundation shows your average person's got between 12,000 and 60,000 thoughts per day. And almost all of those are about ourselves, and 85% of those tend to be negative. So for us to sit with ourselves and just allow the monkey mind to play out is not very comfortable because of those dynamics. And so as we become aware of that monkey mind and what it's trying to tell us, it's and begin to practice some of those tools around metacognition, it's like, oh, wait, I'm not this monkey mind. I'm something bigger and greater than that. And I can actually just observe the monkey mind. And then with that, we can begin to have a more interesting conversation with ourselves, because we're not battling with that monkey mind. We just recognize it's serving a defensive mechanism, which is no longer in our interest. And that's the beginning of a whole new day.
Yeah. It's gotta be amazing to have that experience, you know, that post experience. Can you share, I don't want to say testimonials, maybe not the right word, but, you know, someone that you've tracked, you know, as an example, or like they've done the pre, they've done the work, done posts. If you have anybody that's, you know, you stayed in communication with after a while after, and to know like how well they're doing, what they're doing, if it's something like insanely different, like, I just want a cool experience to share.
Yeah, sure. The question is, I'm going to start with something that's relatively mundane, right? And then we can work our way towards the crazier stories. So, you know, the stories that I love the most are the people who have the big self-love breakthrough, because it's one that's, you know, it's relatively accessible. So, you know, if we can get to self-love or universal love as experiences for someone on their first plant medicine retreat, that's huge. That's massive. And so if I take one of our recent clients, you know, she was a mother of three, is a mother of three, and she had the big self-love breakthrough from the full kind of mystical experience in association with that. So coming to recognize that, wow, I truly love myself completely and absolutely as I am unconditionally. And I'm also not my body. So I'm greater than that. I don't know exactly perhaps what I am at the moment, but I'm metaphysical. I'm greater than just this body. And so, you know, she's someone who took and takes great pride in her appearance. And so to have that experience, you know, as she's, trekking towards 50, to have this, I'm bigger than just this body sort of experience. And then as she went back home, she was so animated and excited, and then the dip came, right? And so she, over the weeks that followed, she did have that dip sort of experience, and there's a lot that comes up, and she's releasing a lot, and the dip is still going. And so over the course, it's been about 2.5 months now, and she's just been processing for pretty much those 2.5 months. And so we've been, you know, there's been some ups and downs in that, but she's really come out of the other end of that and processed. Like, there are people who've been working with plant medicine for 20 years that haven't evolved as much as she has with just a single, single experience.
Pretty powerful.
It is. And that's, you know, it's so easy to, you know, I sometimes say to people, like, if you go sit on a Vibratrain for 6 hours, something is going to happen, right? Like, I don't know exactly whether it's good or bad, but like, you're moving a lot of stuff around and something's going to happen. Mm-hmm. To a great extent, a lot of the stuff that's happening with plant medicine is not necessarily so different. Like, you're taking this super powerful substance. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't have the tools. You don't have the expertise. You don't have the guidance around you. No doubt there's a lot of things that are going to be on the move, and you're going to feel very different after, you know, a few days or a week with the retreat. But bringing all these elements together in a right way, in the right ways, so that we can have more predictable outcomes, is something that's still so poorly understood. And actually, one of the things that we're doing is connecting with some of the leading scientists in this space to try to bring more, and this is where we get a bit woo-woo, but actually bring more spiritual knowledge into the lab. Because the quality of conversation in relation to a lot of the clinical trials that are ongoing in this work is actually still taking a predominantly, shall I say, like, brute force, deterministic, you know, science-based methodology.
Like a mechanistic view versus a vitalistic view.
Totally. Yeah. And it's funny. It's fascinating and interesting to me because as I've come to know more of these psychedelic scientists, to recognize how academia and is actually limiting them. Even if they have psychedelic experiences, they're still working within such a powerful frame that if they were to introduce certain language that I would have thought would be completely the norm in the context of psychedelic experiences, it's like, oh no, the academic community, the scientific community does not recognize these languages, this types of experience, ... And I'm like, wow, really? And they're like, yeah, really. And so, you know, there's obviously reputations, et cetera, to uphold, but there's so far to go in terms of accelerating the quote unquote scientific understanding, which is, to me, it's very exciting because the quality of conversation is everything in relation to this work.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that. It's the mechanistic versus the vitalistic. And I see that in all of health, every aspect of health, you know, as a full-time chiropractor, you know, looking at the body's more than the sum of its parts versus, you know, like, hold on, I can take this body part out, put one in, put this chemical in, take that out and expect all of this really neat stuff to happen. But I think just allowing that body, the vessel, if you will, and the mind and beyond, like, can have that full expression. I think it's powerful stuff. And I think we're like scratching like just the tip of the iceberg here. And I think, you know, with what you're seeing in the psychedelic world with this, like that spiritual shift is you were like there. I mean, people are probably way, or, you know, have seen the whole iceberg already, but science is not following.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, I've been learning very intensively from my spiritual mentors, and I sometimes describe this work as layers of an onion. And maybe I'm on layer 2 or layer 3 of the onion. I think my mentors are probably on layer 15 plus of the onion. They've run out of teachers. They're still learning. And it's not as if each layer of the onion is, you know, 10% deeper than the last. It's really like an exponential curve in relation to that. So I think you're so right. And I think, you know, the likes of a Joe Dispenza has so much to add to these conversations of evidencing, you know, our ability to change our own genetics and to do so in a 4-day space of time without plant medicine, right? And it's like, okay, well, if that's what we can do without acceleration, then what can we do with acceleration? And I think that's super exciting.
Yeah. So with your retreats, I guess my next question is, do you do them like specific times a year, or are they it's like you bring 10 people together and say, we want to put together a retreat. How does that work? How do your retreats work?
Yeah. So we have retreats ongoing. We don't publish dates on our website just because we like to get to know people first and, you know, see whether there's a energetic fit for between what we're doing and where they're at. You know, we get hundreds and hundreds of applications from super depressed, anxious people in need of help. That's not really where we're at. Those people deserve to be well. We wish them well. We are happy to provide assistance as and where we can. But our primary interest is actually not centered around the predominant narrative in this space. The predominant narrative is, hey, psychedelics, plant medicine are really good to help you get from -7 back to 0. And it's like, we're not interested.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah. And we've got this false paradigm, right? To come back to your mechanistic, we've got this false paradigm of, well, mental health, the bar has been set here. And if you're below that, you have a problem. If you're above that, then you're A-okay. And that's not it. When we're talking about elevating consciousness, there is no upper bound. And we're all somewhere along this trajectory, and we can all improve. We're all perfect as we are, and we can all improve. And that's super exciting. And so we're looking for those people who have already, you know, who are already operating at a high level. They're confident. Of course, there's insecurities, there's fears, there's anxiety, there's shame, there's guilt. Of course, those emotions are there, but we're looking more to work with people who are already doing really well in life and want to take their game to a whole nother level.
Okay. Yeah. So it's not that you're looking to have a healthcare practice of depressed people that obviously need help. There are avenues to go that way. You're looking for that person that really is like, you know what? I'm good. I want to see what really else is out there. I want to see how much better I can be. That's your ideal client, if you will.
Totally. Yeah. And it's in the process of understanding what we are not, then we can come to see what we truly are. And that's I continue to be flabbergasted by the levels of recognition of self.
This your world has got to be such a wild world to see, you know, when you're dealing with, you know, high performers that are trying to take the notch up a little bit more, you know, I get to see, you know, I see all sorts of types of people as a chiropractor patient wise. But when I get to work with people individually that, that are like, want to take that, that, you know, I'm an ultra marathoner. So when people want to take that, you know, that, like that 10K to a 50K, like that's that you got to transcend as a human being, as an, and as an athlete. I see some people, I don't know if anybody's born with that kind of expertise, if you will, or that, that will, like, there's no gift. Like, we're all gifted in everything. We just got to choose what we want to unleash and how, is my, my belief in that. But having that unleash is neat for me to see. And that's not even in what you're doing. It's got to be insane.
It is. And, you know, there's, it's also so delicate because, you know, if a Texas CEO comes along and he's like, all right, you know, we had a Texas CEO who drank almost a liter of medicine on a given evening. And he's trying to have his major, massive, massive breakthrough. Right. And I mean, these medicines, they don't play, these are ego dissolving experiences. And so, wow. You know, one of our advisors calls ayahuasca humble soup. And I think that's an incredible description. Yeah. Because, you know, the surrender that's required in order to get the most out of these experiences. And to be honest, you don't have much of a say in the matter at a particular, you know, juncture in relation to these experiences. And to surrender yourself to the universe and the, you know, the powers that be is fundamental to the work. And just how to try to reduce it to language, it's just so overwhelmingly humbling to recognize the powers that exist in this universe. And yes, we are powerful within that, but to recognize that the powers that exist are so much more than we could ever imagine.
That's really, really neat. So I want to finish with this, because I want to end on a super high note, because that's, you know, we start talking about like that universal intelligence, that's big stuff, right? That big stuff. So where are the best places for people to connect to you?
Yeah. Look us up, Behold Retreats, come into our website. And, if you're interested in a life-changing journey, apply and you'll connect with either myself or one of my colleagues, have a great conversation about where you're at in life and decide together whether or not we're a good fit. And we'll, you know, as I always say to people, the right things will emerge from there.
Very cool. I love it. Simple. That always works in my world as well. So Jonathan, this has been a really cool conversation. You've took us from, you know, your hard times, you know, transitioning and figuring out who you really are, to now bringing people on this journey without all of the mistakes that you've had to make along the way. So I appreciate you being able to have this experience available for people that need you and possibly want, right, this experience as well. So I want to thank you for that. Any final thoughts?
Yeah, I would say to anyone who's exploring this space, number one, listen to your intuition. Number two, do plenty of your own research, not to build your expectations, but just to have a core understanding. And number three, again, I like to try to be valuable beyond what we're doing. If you're looking for a really transformational experience, then ask for references of transformational stories. So we're not looking for a 5-star retreat experience. We're looking for a personal transformation. So where were you before in life, 6 months ago, 12 months ago? Where are you now in life? And tell me about some of the differences in your human experience that have formed that evolution. And that's what we're looking for. It's quality of everyday experience, not a 5-star throwing up in the jungle experience.
Yeah. That is awesome. I know a lot of people, you know, want to go to have the retreat experience. And I think that's the wrong direction. Just based on what you said, that's an awesome way to put it. You want to have people that have transcended, that have evolved, that have gotten better, that have, you know, in my world, we call it unleashing human potential. And that's ultimately what you're doing. And then, you know, beyond, of course. So yeah. Jonathan, awesome. Thank you so much. Everybody check the show notes. I'll have tons of details on how to connect with Jonathan and Behold Retreats. I'm Dr. Josh Hant. Peace out.
Hey, it's Dr. Josh Hant here, and we need to talk about your health, your fitness, and your lifestyle. I know you, if you're like me, you've seen sickness and disease and even death in your life. And we know the leading causes of death in the United States are cancer, heart disease, and diabetes. Many of these conditions and diseases are considered lifestyle-based. And I know that lifestyles in the United States and other countries are not where they should be. We also know that they make you more vulnerable to other sicknesses and conditions. We tend to get our advice and recommendations on health from commercials and marketing, from fast food to pharmaceuticals, and not from experts with real world experience. Unfortunately, we follow people or products who don't walk the walk or talk the talk. They simply just don't care about your health. It's just about their bottom line. I know we've heard it from our friends and from even our own self-talk that we don't have enough time, we can't make the changes, or there's just too much to do to be healthy. But there is a way to actually take control of your lifestyle and have the accountability and the support you need. We can be bigger than our excuses. For the past 14 years as a chiropractor, I've worked and continue to work with thousands of patients with their lifestyle and ultimately their health. I am now bringing the same philosophy to the online space where we can work as a group to get better, stronger, healthier, and be bigger than our excuses every single day. I've created the 3065 Lifestyle Shift Program to be an online-based, training-based program where you get to learn and be engaged with others in your journey towards a healthy lifestyle and ultimately a healthier life. To be part of this amazing movement, it's just $5 a month. Yes, it's only $5 a month, and that seems too good to be true. Well, it's not. So for the price of a gourmet coffee, you will have access to an amazing program and amazing people that want the best for you too. So when you dive into the content below this video to learn about our lifestyle philosophy, you'll see that we are incredibly unique. No other online program focuses on lifestyle the way we do and delivers the quality and the quantity of content that we do for just $5 a month. And it's not just about the movement. There's a lot more. It's really about your health. So check out the details and other videos below. And when you sign up, I'll even send you the ebook, Inside the Locker, which dives deeper into creating an awesome lifestyle. I look forward to seeing you on the inside of the Lifestyle Locker 3065 Lifestyle Shift Program.